foundation again, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me." Okay, how many of you remember who the hymn is there? Any of you know that?
No.
It was Thomas. Thomas. And it was when they were talking about, how do we know the way? Remember when Philip continued? How do we know the way? And this is what Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he said to Philip, "Don't you even know me after all I've taught you?" And so anyway, this is a neat concept. And then he goes on to say, "I'm preparing a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back again. And I'm going to get you and take you home." And that's such a marvelous truth in that part of John 14. And such an important part of our life. Anyway, that was our foundation. So last week we were talking a little bit about John 10. And we're getting into 11. He said the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Such a tremendous passage. And then that passage concludes with what Scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jeremiah said that, Eliot read Scripture say that, don't they? He is the Lord. He is Lord. And we can call upon him when we have need. He's there to meet our needs. So those are such important assignments. We remember our assignment. He said, how can they call on them unless they believe in him? To save them unless they believe in him. And how can they believe in him unless they've not heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go to them without being sent? This is why Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? And Isaiah continues to tell those things, didn't he? And that's what Jesus pointed out, that the Pharisees and the leaders, the religious leaders, talked about the fact that they knew everything. They had the perfect knowledge. And no one knew better than they. But Jesus said, you guys don't know a thing. And, a person can listen to someone and not understand, right? You ever listen to someone talking and then not understand what they're saying? And some of us who have hearing problems, it makes it even worse for us. We can hear them muttering, but we have no idea what they're trying to say. But if we do listen carefully to what the Word says, we can understand it. And that was the problem with the religious leaders. I think that that's the problem today in the world. There are a lot of religious leaders out there spouting off, but they don't know the real God. And I wonder about some of the TV evangelists. Now, there are some good ones. there are some good ones on that are worthwhile listening to. And they're doing this very thing. They're spreading the gospel to the rest of the world through television, through media, through languages for the in the people's own dialect that they spread throughout the world. And those are good things. There are some people that we have that I occasionally like to listen to and to hear what they're doing when they speak the truth. But even sometimes when they have certain guests on, they spout off about things that they really don't know. They think they do, but they don't really. Anyway, that's my beef. Remember what Jesus said? I have been given authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, we've talked about the dips a number of times, but I want that last phrase to stick in our mind. I will be with you, even to the end of the age. In Psalm that I was reading this morning, they were decrying the fact that you who are rich, you cannot buy your way into heaven. Your riches are not going to do you any good. You're going to go drown to the grave just like the animals and everyone else. That's life. People today don't understand that that's the way it is. Can't buy your way into heaven. You can't become famous and get to heaven because of your good name. You can't get into heaven because you become successful. You can't get into heaven by your own bootstraps. And that's what the psalmist was telling us. And that's what we tell the world, if they will listen, but they don't want to listen. Just like the Jews in Jesus' day. And by Jews, I mean the religious leaders. Because there were a number of common people that did believe. His disciples and followers were more than just the 12. It was those that were in the upper room waiting for him after his resurrection and praying. There were those all over Asia Minor, Turkey, that area, and all the nations, Antioch, Pisidia, and other places where they were first called Christians, where Paul went for his missionary journey, and Rome, which Paul was going to go to that he's writing this letter to. Those people were willing to listen. And if you're willing to listen, you can find truth. And listen according to what Scripture teaches us is understanding. Not just hearing, but understanding. If any of you walk in the marketplace like we did down in Santa Ana all the time, you would hear about 10 different languages being spoken. We didn't understand any of them except English. And that's to our regret, by the way. We should be language people, but we're not. So he will be with us, and we can hear his word and understand. And here's what he says. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the good news about Christ. But I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard the message? Yes, they have. The message has gone throughout the earth and the words to all the world. But I ask that the people of Israel really understand. Yes, they did. For even in the time of Moses, God said, I will rouse your jealousy through the people who are not even a nation. I will provoke your anger through the foolish Gentiles. Perhaps he was thinking about many other countries, perhaps England and France and Germany and maybe even the U.S. when he spoke those words. And making people jealous, the U.S. has done a good job at that. They're not doing it so well anymore, but they used to. But provoke anger. Are people angry? All you have to do is look at the college's campuses today and you see how anger is there because people believe lies rather than truth. Truth makes people angry. You ever like being pointed out something that you're stupid about? Most of us don't. But the Gentiles would do that to the world. And he said, later Isaiah spoke boldly for God, saying, I was found by people who were not looking for me. I showed myself to those who were not asking for me. But regarding Israel, God said, all day long I opened my arms to them, but they were disobedient and rebellious. Does that describe society today? Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, and we know it. And it would be nice to be able to see the truth. Remember Jesus' prayer when he prayed that those who would understand him, he prayed for them that would believe on what the disciples said. And so he said, I pray for them who will believe, basically. So now let's get to the meat, Romans 11. He asked this question. I ask then, has God rejected his own people, the nation of Israel? Of course not. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. No, God has not rejected his own people, whom he chose from the very beginning. Do you realize what the scriptures say about this? Elijah the prophet complained to God about the people of Israel and said, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I'm the only one left, and they are trying to kill me too. And you remember God's reply? He said, no, I have 7,000 others who have never bowed to Baal. So we talked about that a little bit last week. But here, what Paul was asking the question, has God totally rejected his people Israel? Israel is in the very focus of our world right now. Because they're saying, we have the right to defend ourselves against enemies. Isn't that a truth among nations? That they have the right to defend themselves? What happened in World War II after Pearl Harbor? We said, oh well, Japanese, that's okay. We didn't do that, did we? We at all. And we produced more airplanes and warships, even after Pearl Harbor, than anyone could imagine. We still have a lot of weapons, a lot of airplanes, a lot of submarines, a lot of missiles. We have a lot that we will defend ourselves if it's necessary, no matter what Biden might say. we will defend ourselves. Israel has the right to defend themselves. But there are, pardon the expression, stupid naysayers out there that say, no, they're being mean to these poor Arab people. They're bombing their hospitals, they're killing their people. And the facts are that Israel defends all of the people that are honest. They defended the hospitals because they cleared them out beforehand and then found missiles and weapons and everything else in their basements. And the 3,500 missiles and drones that went over a couple of weeks ago, they shot almost all of them down. And so a couple of emails that we got from Jennifer and others said, don't you think God might be defending them? I think so. Scripture said that God will defend them in the end. There'll be terrible times for Israel, but they would be defended by God.
God never turned, he may have turned his back several times on Israel, but he never said that I've rejected them. But Israel rejected God. That's the difference. God didn't reject Israel. Israel rejected God. And that's the proof of the pudding is Jesus came to the Jews first.
Yep. And people don't understand that, do they? Not really. And there are many thoughts about Israel among churches today. And some of them are terrible. What they think about Israel. And some of it goes way back even to Martin Luther and others. Some of the churches have bought some of his rhetoric. And but if you study the history about Martin Luther, and he was such a great reformer, he overcame the lies of the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church at that time. He discounted them because he said Scripture refutes what they are saying. But then I'm not sure he read Romans 11. Or if he did, he discounted it. Because if you read his history, he hated the Jews. And he started the teaching in the world that the Jews had been abandoned by God and no longer had any place in his kingdom. And that's part of what so many of the mainline denominations do today. And those that say that God has abandoned the Jews and has replaced them with the church. And then that's called by many the replacement theology. And they believe that everything that was promised and all the recommendations, even in the Old Testament, the Word of God abandoned the Jews and replaced it with the church. And there are things that you just cannot tolerate. If you say that, basically you're saying two dire things. One of them is that God lies. If you're saying that God did not mean what he said, then you're saying he's a liar. And if you say the word did not mean what it says, then you throw out the very word of God. So you abandon God, you abandon the word, and ultimately you abandon Jesus. although you say you believe in him. And that replacement theology is a deadly evil within churches today. And basically it says, when you think about what Jesus told us in Revelation, you remember Revelation, Jesus' word to John. Jesus spoke these words to John. And he said there was going to be a millennium, a thousand-year reign. Now, is that true? Why would it be true? Doesn't make sense. Do any of us understand the 1,000 years? Not really. We know some of the elements of it. We know that we can have lions in our house like kitty cats, and we can have them and play with them. So anyway, snakes. I don't want snakes in my house. I hate snakes. And I used to play with them as a kid. We had garter snakes around. I used to play with them. And you like to hang them by the tail and mess up your sister's lives with them. But I don't want them.
I was thinking that, you know, Martin Luther was a product of the times. Virtually all of the religious leaders at that time, even though they were, like Martin Luther was, well-versed in the Bible, they had their prejudices that had been brought into them for centuries. And I think that's where it came from, a lot of it, because, and there may have been, you know, it may have been part of God's plan to help move the Jews in the direction that they were supposed to go. But I think that all of Europe at one time hated the Jews, and it took a long time for people to really look at the Bible and say, wait a minute, this isn't exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says it's this way, and we're looking at it from an oblique manner. So,
from the consensus, basically, of people, isn't it? And that's exactly right. Society likes to dictate what people think. And that was certainly part of Europe and Asia in that area. And that was before Israel became a nation again. And they, of course, took the things that God said against Israel and said that's a permanent. But God never said it was permanent. He always says that he will forgive. And that's such an important concept, both Old Testament and New Testament, that God knows how to forgive. And God, even like your psalm that you read this morning, God knows how to forgive, doesn't he? He knows how to meet our needs. He is our shield, our fortress, our strength, our rock, and all of those things that the Old Testament talks about. So Paul was saying they're not rejected. I'm one of them. And I haven't been rejected. And if you know that Paul continued on ministering to the Gentiles that message of truth. And that's what he was declared when he makes this 11th chapter such a strong benefit for Israel. And those college campuses that are having their protests, having been taught socialism by their teachers, the very thing that the Nazis did in Germany. And this is, to me, maybe more dangerous. It's very subtle. It's very subtle, and it creeps into people's hearts. And people who are not willing to settle, understand truth, are willing to believe the lies. And people are not being educated now about truth. They're fed, believe whatever society says. And we used to call this 30 and 40 years ago situational ethics. In other words, what's true is what people believe is true. It isn't what is true truth, as Francis Schaeffer would say. It's what they believe is true. That's what you were getting at, yeah? Basically, society dictates what people believe. And we've got people that have not been educated to look for truth. And that's dangerous.
Well, if they profess that Israel couldn't be, has not been forgiven, or couldn't be forgiven, that puts us at risk. Because if Israel can't be forgiven, how can we be forgiven? We weren't even part of God's chosen people at the time. Doesn't make sense. It has to be one way or the other. And the right, correct way is that God forgives, and that's why he gave us Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins.
Yep. So Jesus is the climax of all of that, isn't he? Jesus is the final and ultimate truth. And so we said earlier, there's no way to the Father except by him, right? He is the only way to know God. Now, question. Do the Jews really, are they a God-fearing country now? No. No, they're not. No more than we are. And you know, there's so many different sects of the Jews in there. The Hasidic Jewish people and those that wear long hair and beards and hats and do bottle dances and all that stuff. You know, there's so many different sects. I haven't heard anything recent about the red heifers. So I think that's gone by the wayside also, and because otherwise the Pentecostals would be telling us all about that. And so anyway, there are so many different sects, but at least they have freedom. They have freedom in their land like we do. We have the Constitution, but they have their own rules which allow their nation to be free. And then back to this part that I was going to try to get to. I went sideways on myself. The thousand-year millennium. And the question is it really going to happen? It has to, because God said it. Now, there's a lot of theories about that. And you've heard them, and I probably described them to you a number of times. There are those that are called post-millennialists. That means afterwards. And that means that those people believe that there will be 1,000 years, and Christ is going to bring peace and reign to the earth for 1,000 years, and then he's going to do his final return. After the 1,000 years. And you know, even society and history tells us that ain't happening. There isn't anything getting better about the earth at all, is it? So that particular theory, I think, goes by the wayside real quick. And then there's the people that call themselves all millennialists. And they're the ones that say there's going to be no millennium. I think that again violates God's word. If they say there is going to be no millennium, why does Scripture talk about it? Because it does talk about it not only in Revelation, but also in Isaiah and Ezekiel and other places that God sets up his old plan from day one for the earth to be perfect be ruled. And God even says, Jesus even told his disciples that they would be priests in his kingdom. So people say, okay, well, that's okay. That means heaven. Doesn't mean earth. And they make all kinds of interpretations on that. And so if I categorize myself, and some others have used this category, and I use it not just because they say so, but I think it's a good one. It's called historic premillennial belief. That we believe that Jesus will return prior to the millennium and then set up his kingdom. And that has been the historic part of the church since the second century. And that's why those who believe in this premillennium concept say that this is a historic tradition and belief within the church. Now, there might be variations of that, but we believe it. And, of course, I got myself into trouble several times in the Alliance Church when I was on a panel discussion, and I said, I believe that the Lord will come, what, after the tribulation, post-trib? That happens to be my belief, but only God knows the truth of all of that, right? Because there are varieties of that. There's people that say, no, he has to take the church out before the tribulation because the church can't be here. Then my simple question is this. During the tribulation time talked about in Revelation, why is the church here? It talks about the church and Christians being persecuted. Why are they here? Of course, then you've got all the Left Behind series that has the whole scenario born out of, what, about 12 books or whatever. And that's the belief of most of the church today. So I'm a scoundrel. I don't believe that. So anyway, it doesn't matter what I believe. Doesn't matter what I believe. God's going to do it his way. And like I've said dozens of times, we're all going to be found that we got some things wrong. Because God's going to do it right. Because that's who he is. Anyway, enough of that.
All you can say is when you see Jesus in the sky, then you'll know what's going to happen. Yep. Otherwise, it's all pure speculation and it's not going to mean much.
Yep. And the rapture theory, people say, well, you lose 1 Thessalonians 5 when Jesus takes the believers out of the world. So they have to be gone before the tribulation. But they forget about going on to 2 Thessalonians 2, which says these events are not going to happen until after the Antichrist is revealed. So I kind of believe Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, or Mount of Olives, when he said that the Antichrist will come halfway through, like Daniel said, during the tribulation period. So anyway, this is another old group of people, and I'm really going down a rabbit trail, so forgive me. Of those who believe in post-tribulation, but they call pre-wrath rapture. And another one of my quirks is I don't like the word rapture because that was not given to the church as a scriptural reference. It's always just the gathering of God's people at the end when he comes back to judge and comes back to give the gifts of life to those that are on the earth at that time. So anyway, you look at people in Afghanistan and other places of the world right now, their tribulation is worse than anything has ever been seen in all of history. And in China, the Christians there have gone through major, major persecution. Vietnam back a number of years ago, same thing. Philippines. Indonesia, all over Africa. People are going through great tribulation. And we know if we read anything a little bit about it. So, nothing new. It's going to continue until Jesus comes back and sets the world free. But I want to get off of that rabbit trail. But he said, even today, God's grace will reach out. And since it is through God's kindness, then it is not their good works. For in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is. Free and undeserved God's grace. And that was both to the Jews and the Gentiles, if you notice Paul's context here. Free and undeserved. And that's what I see all throughout Scripture. Free and undeserved. Are you and I worthy of that grace? Not at all. Have we been given it? If we believe in Jesus, yes, we have. And that's God's gift to us, right? And that's the beauty of who Jesus is. And that's what so many people do not understand about either Christmas or Easter. You know, the EC people who go to church on EC, Easter and Christmas, the EC people, they don't understand the truth of God's grace. They think, oh, well, that's kind of a good thing to do. But if you look at all the Hallmark movies about Christmas, there's only maybe one or two in the whole year that even mention Jesus as being the reason for the season. Santa Claus and all of that. Yeah, and rabbits and all of this. And those are the things that people believe in. And the celebration is fine. Jesus always liked celebrations. He still does. And when we realize the real reason, we're celebrating both his birth and resurrection during those times. And true believers celebrate that. And there's reasons that God set up the three major festivals in Israel. And we just are completing now the Passover celebration the week after Passover. And the Jews have been celebrating it all week. But they didn't leave their guns home. They still have them with them. And anyway, but it's all undeserved, isn't it? Free and undeserved. And that's the major message of what Paul is trying to tell them here. But then he says in 7 through 10, so this is the situation. Most of the people of Israel have not found the favor of God they are looking for so earnestly. A few have, and that's all of society. A few have, the ones God has chosen, but the hearts of the rest were hardened. As the scripture says, God has put them into a deep sleep. To this day, he has shut their eyes so they do not see, closed their ears so they do not hear. Like David said, let their bountiful table become a snare, a trap that makes them think all is well. Let their blessings cause them to stumble, and let them get what they deserve. Let their eyes go blind so they cannot see, and let their backs be bent forever. So, Paul quotes the Old Testament, because if you remember, that was the only scripture they had at that time. He quotes what David says. He quotes what Isaiah says. And he said they will harden their hearts. And that's what all throughout the history you see. Israel kept being up and down like a yo-yo. They'd be believe. You remember the story about the judges? And it said they were persecuted by all the nations around them, the Philistines and the others, for 40 years. And then they cried out to God, and God sent them a judge to take care of them. And some of the judges were kind of unique when you look at them. And there was Gideon. You remember Gideon? And I think of Gideon every time I brush my teeth. Because most of us will scoop up water with our hand and suck it in our mouth. Others will use a cup. But, Gideon was pared down to just the number that were left who scooped it up with their hands and didn't lap it like a dog down in the stream. And so, I think of Gideon a lot when I brush my teeth because I do it that way. And enough of that. But then there was Ehud, and there was Deborah, other judges that were part of Israel, and Samson. My wife doesn't like Samson too well. She thinks he was a terrible guy, and he was in many ways. And yet he was called by God, even from before birth. And his birth was one of those miraculous ones, right? And then, of course, he had to knock the old temple down and killed more in his death than he did in his life. And but he was pretty strong. But God used him. God used him. And even though there are so many things about his life that you don't like, it tells us that God can use any of us.
It's like Juanita just said. God kind of, I think he kind of went, oh, no, not again. let's come on, Samson, back on the line. Oh, yeah, no, not again.
Yep. Yep. And if you want to know about Samson, just talk to Jan. She knows all about him. She has an opinion that's probably like most of us. Anyway, so they're still looking. They're blind forever. But here's what Isaiah said. He said, "For the Lord has poured out on you a spirit of deep sleep. He has closed the eyes of your prophets and visionaries. All the future events in this vision are like a sealed book to them. When you give it to those who can read, they will say, 'We can't read it because it's sealed.' When you give it to those who cannot read, they will say, 'We don't know how to read.' And so the Lord says, 'These people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Because of this, I will once again astound these hypocrites with amazing wonders. The wisdom of the wise will pass away, and the intelligence of the intelligent will disappear. What sorrow awaits those who try to hide their plans from God, who do their evil deeds in the dark. The Lord can't see us, they say. He doesn't know what is going on. How foolish can you be? He is the potter, and he is certainly greater than you, the clay. Should the created thing say anything, say of the one who made it, he didn't make me? Does the jar ever say the potter who made me is stupid? Soon, and it will not be very long, The forests of Lebanon will become a fertile field, and the fertile field will yield bountiful crops. So David said in the Psalm 69, 22 and 23, let the bountiful table set before them become a snare, and their prosperity become a trap. Let their eyes go blind so they cannot see, and make their bodies shake continually. Well, we'll get back to this next week. I think that's a good place to stop. And Paul said this, we'll just pick up there. Did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. And then he goes on and gives his understanding of what's going to happen. But you know, we can understand that God's mercy is never taken away. And remember what God said in Romans 14, we'll get to. As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. He comes in the clouds, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. He said he's the Alpha and Omega. And there's so much, Rich. I knew we weren't going to get very far today, and I did too much review. But I love this song that tells us what Jesus is all about. So just enjoy it. And then when you go home today, you'll be singing it all the way home. And you'll wake up at night singing it. Or you'll go to bed and go to sleep singing it. Because that's who Jesus is. But he didn't reject his people Israel. He'll not reject us either. And we can count on the truth of who Jesus is. And so we don't close our eyes, we see it. We look into the Word and we understand it. And that's God's grace and God's peace given to us because of Jesus. And Lord, would we think of your deep love for us as we sang about this morning and heard sung this morning. It's all about your love for us. And you said that you would lay down your life for us, and you did. And that love is so beyond our understanding, but we believe it because you said it. So help us to understand your love in our heart. Help us to serve you because of love. Help us to honor your name because of your love for us. And help us to lift up your name and tell the world the truth about who you are daily in our life. Not just on Christmas and Easter, but daily in our life. Allow us to lift up your truth of your love for us. And don't let us stop our ears or close our eyes or so that we don't understand. But let the world know that your truth is there by our life, by our words, by our love. It's the conduit of your love. So walk with us now and help us to honor your name. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Shalom.